Good evening, everyone. You know, I'm actually a little early. I had to stop my meditation to come online. No matter. Good evening. So tonight's quote is again from the Anguttara Nikaya. Anguttara Nikaya is a good source of dogma or doctrine, sorry. It's a place where it's the book that you go to if you want to get doctrine on a topic. Good for teachers to refer to when they're giving talks, because the Anguttara Nikaya is mainly lists. So you've got separated into books. And this is the why is this the Book of Elevens? I don't know. For some reason I thought it would be the Book of Sixes. Let's see. Bhikkhu Bodhi often has some good insight onto why. How they do the numbering. Oh, I see. This sutta is actually a part of a bigger set of suttas. So let's not worry about the numbering because it seems a little bit complicated. So he starts by mentioning five this is actually to Mahanama. And so Mahanama comes to see the Buddha and the Buddha was going to set out wandering. Mahanama was the brother of Anuruddha. And if you remember the story of Anuruddha, because when the Buddha went back to his home, many of the young men and even young women went forth and became monks under the Buddha. And so from every family it seemed that they were going, and some people complained and said, oh, this ascetic Gotama Siddhartha, whatever they called him, is taking away our sons, stealing away our sons. Mostly it was the men in the beginning. And they told the Buddha this, and the Buddha said, oh, well, tell them that they're ordaining according to the Dhamma, according to the Dharma, it would have been. And when the monks told the people this, oh, they're ordaining according to the Dharma, then people were, oh, because they respected the Dharma, the way. Dharma is a, it took on a lot of meaning. This word is laden with much meaning. Originally it just meant what people held, but it became that which is held to be true, kind of thing. So it came to be the right. Anyway, from Mahanama and Anuruddha, no one from their family became monks. And so they were kind of embarrassed. Mahanama said, one of us has to become a monk. And Anuruddha said, oh, well, becoming a monk sounds difficult. I'll stay as a layperson, you go become a monk. And so Mahanama had to explain to Anuruddha how to be a layperson. Oh, well, we have estates that you have to care for, so you have to go and oversee the planting of the grain, the caring for the field, the tilling of the fields, the planting of the grain, the caring of the for the fields, the guarding of the grain from the animals. You have to oversee taking it to the mill, grinding the grain, and so on, and all this, all the affairs having to do with the farm. And then you have to give wages to all the workers, and you have to oversee and make sure that they're doing their jobs, and then you have to look after the money. And he went on and on and on. And Anuruddha's eyes got wider and wider until finally he said, "Stop, stop, I'll become a monk, you stay as a lay person." And so Anuruddha became a monk, Mahanama stayed as a layman, and he's a subject, he's actually one of the great lay people in the Buddha's dispensation. He often came to the Buddha and asked him questions. So he found out that the Buddha was going away. The monks were making a robe for him after the rains, because he was going to go wandering to teach, you know. And so Mahanama heard this, and he wanted to get some instruction before the Buddha left. So he went to the Buddha and he said, "Is this true?" And he said, "So I've heard that you're leaving. With all our various engagements, how should we dwell?" Oh, this is Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation. "Among the various ways in which we dwell, how should we dwell?" Kenasa viharena vihatabang. How should, by which means should, oh, of the many means, of the many ways we can dwell, this word vihara. This is a good quote. Tesang no bante nana viharehi viharatang kenasa viharena vihatabang. This is the word viha, har. Har means to carry, vihar. No, har means to take, I think. To take. Vihar. Vihar means to dwell. Of all the many ways we can dwell, how should we dwell? And the Buddha says, sadhu, sadhu, mahanama. It is proper that you should ask the Buddha this question. And so first, before he tells him how you should dwell, he offers these five qualities that he's going to require in order to dwell properly. So in order to accomplish the dwelling that the Buddha is going to give to him, he needs five qualities first. Maybe this is where the 11 comes from. There's the five qualities and the six dwellings. All together it makes 11. It's not how Bhikkhu Bodhi numbers it, but we have the five things you should make, right? Okay, when you have established these five things in yourself, you should also make six other things grow within you. So, one who is serious, that's not how big a book, let me see. Sadho ko mahanama arada ko hoti, na asadho. So someone who is energetic, someone who is successful, eager. One is successful. How is one successful? First, sadho. No asadho. One needs to have confidence. They can't be faithless. So the first thing you need is you have to have confidence. You should have confidence in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. You should have confidence in the practice, confidence in your teacher, confidence in yourself. If you don't have confidence in all these things, you have to remedy it. Maybe you need a new teacher. Maybe you need to study about the Buddha, study the Dhamma, study. You have to get to know the Sangha so you have faith in them. You have to study the practice and find the right practice. You have to look at yourself and you have to see the good qualities in yourself and work on the good qualities and focus on good qualities so that you have confidence. Aradha viryo no kusito. They're accomplished in effort. Aradha means firm effort. No kusito, not lazy. So you have to work. You have to commit yourself. It doesn't mean you have to run around or you have to push yourself very hard. It just means you have to have firm effort, strong effort, consistent and sustained effort. Because you can have effort at any given moment, but it's easy to fall into laziness out of greed or out of anger, out of delusion. But as soon as you're mindful, then you can have effort again. So you can rebuild effort every moment. You can cultivate it. This is how people are able to practice day and night. They're able to find effort in the present moment again and again and again. And just continuously stay with that. Number three, uppatitasati no muttasati. They have established mindfulness or remembrance. They're not forgetful. Na muttasati. They don't have muddled sati. It means they're able to see things arising and ceasing. And they're able to recognize this is this, this is this. They're able to practice body, kaya, vedana, citta, dhamma. They're able to see what is kaya, what is vedana, what is citta, what is dhamma. Before satipatthana. Samahito no asamahito. They are concentrated or focused, not unfocused. So again, this is not quite concentrated, it's more focused like a lens. Seeing things, sharpening your vision. Seeing things as they are. And number five, panyo wa no dupanyo. They are possessing of wisdom, not of low or base wisdom, base understanding. So you have to have wisdom. Wisdom about right view, wisdom about the body and mind, the three characteristics, wisdom about karma. You have to have wisdom about right and wrong. You have to have wisdom about cause and effect. You have to know these things intellectually first, but then you have to see them through the practice. So true panya, true wisdom is first you hear, then you think, and then you study, and you experience. And real wisdom is you see nama rupa, you see the physical and mental things arising. It's quite obvious actually, but you start to realize that that's the nature of reality. Not this room that we're in or this world that we live in, that's not real. What's real is experiences of physical and mental phenomena. You see like that, and then you see cause and effect. This causes this, that causes that. And see, when you don't give rise to this, that doesn't arise, and so on. When you give rise to this, that arises. You see the three characteristics, that everything you think was stable, satisfying, controllable, it's not actually. You start to lose your passion, your desire. And then you see the path, you start to see how you can live, how you can exist without falling into suffering, without cultivating unwholesomeness and falling into suffering. And then you attain the fruit. You pick the fruit and you taste the fruit of freedom. That's wisdom. So those five, and then he talks about the six recollections that you should keep in mind. And these are the six anusati. If we remember, if those of you who studied the Visuddhimagga with us, we went through these. There's 10 recollections. The first six are chanusati. They're called the six recollections. So we have the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. We have sila, dana, no, jaga, right? Sila, jaga, and devata. So the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we recollect on the Buddha. We think about the Buddha, iti piso bhagava, indeed he is the blessed one, and so on. Swakato, we think of the Dhamma, well taught is the Dhamma, and there's actually a mantra for that. Supatipanno, we think about the Sangha being well practiced, and there's a mantra for all three of those. The other three are reflecting on our sila, our morality. We think of how pure our morality is. Are we not killing, we're not stealing, we're not cheating, we're not lying, we're not taking drugs or alcohol. Even when we're practicing meditation, our morality is quite pure. Our behavior is quite pure. That's why meditation is so wonderful. That's why sitting on a mat and actually doing formal meditation is very important. Because it's that moment or that period of purity where you're not engaged in any impure activity. And then jaga, so you reflect on that and you feel happy about that. Jaga means reflecting on your generosity. So those of you who have joined with us to give robes to Ajahn Tong, it's an awesome thing. That's great. That kind of thing. It's just as an example. Any good deeds that you do, any gift that you've given, any help that you've given to someone, if you've given the Dhamma, maybe you've taught someone how to meditate, all these things, reflecting on those, remembering them. And then finally, devata. You recollect on the angels, on heaven. Again, this is advice to a layman, so you might wonder, why are we thinking about angels? It's actually thinking about the qualities that exist in us and rejoicing about our good qualities that will lead us to good things in the future. Now, obviously heaven isn't where we're aiming for, but for a layman, for someone who is sort of, again, practicing not necessarily to attain parinibbana in this life, but to purify their minds and to see the truth. There was this person who came to visit a couple of days ago, said to me, she said she's married, she has a husband, and she said, oh, I saw your video on, I watched your video on how you became a monk. And I said, oh yeah, are you interested? And she said, no. Which is so good, you know, honest of her. But that kind of thing, you know, not everyone is going to go all the way. I've gotten that answer before when I asked people if they want to become a monk. No, absolutely not. Someone even said, oh, I hope not. Said, oh, maybe one day you'll become a monk. I said, oh, I hope not. So, not everyone's headed in that direction. But, you know, going to heaven is a great thing because there's lots of Buddhists up in heaven. And so think about that. And so the Buddha says when you think about these things, the mind becomes, let's see, gains joy. When his joyful rapture arises, for one with a rapturous mind, the body becomes tranquil. One tranquil in body feels pleasure. For one feeling pleasure, the mind becomes concentrated. So it's a kind of pleasure that's based on wholesomeness. Not all pleasure is based on unwholesomeness. It's a pleasure that comes from thinking of good things, rejoicing in good things. The mind becomes concentrated. This is called a noble disciple who dwells in balance amid an unbalanced populace, who dwells unafflicted amid an afflicted populace. As one who has entered the stream of the Dhamma, he develops recollection of these things. It's a way of dwelling in the world without suffering. So these are protection. These six are useful as protection. The Buddha's, he's not saying that these are what leads you to enlightenment. He's saying these are things that allow you to have a balanced mind, to stay focused and balanced and not get lost in samsara. Think about these six things from time to time. So first, you notice how he prefaces it with actual core, hardcore teachings, the five faculties: confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. But then he, before talking about these other things, like if you're already practicing well, how do you protect it? You protect it by in these ways, by thinking about things like this group of six, the anusati, very useful meditations. So we still practice mindfulness as our main meditation, but from time to time we think about the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. Especially living in the world, it's easy to get lost when you have to go to work and so on. So this keeps you focused and reminds you of what's important. So that's the Dhamma for tonight. Do you have any questions tonight? We have a question from last night, huh? Why are human beings forced to live when suffering and futility are the only things we know are real? Well, just as you see, this is the funny thing about humans. Like we have this idea that there should be a purpose, or you know, everything happens for a purpose, etc., etc. But we also have the idea, you know, that there's some rhyme or reason to things. So your question is kind of weird because you acknowledge that there's no purpose, but then you assume that there's something forcing us to live, like there's something like a god or something, which Buddhism doesn't acknowledge. So what we know is that we live. No? There's no answer to why we live. Ignorance. That's the root cause. No questions. If there are no questions, I'm going to go. All right. Have a good night, everyone. And I'll try to be back tomorrow.